This podcast is brought to you by Fresh FM, with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to The Musketeers, I'm Francis, and this show coming to you from Mochiweka Studio here at Fresh FM, your community radio station. We interview people on topics of interest within our community. Today we have the director of the Tides program, Ara Lynn, here to talk about the Rites of Passage Foundation. How are you today?
Hi Francis, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to talk with you about the Rites of Passage Foundation and what a Rites of Passage really is, and this kind of initiation work. And Rites of Passage happens throughout lifetimes, actually. But one of the major ones is when someone moves from being a teenager and adolescent into adulthood. And in our culture, like our modern Western culture, there's not really huge Rites of Passage. In indigenous villages, there used to be, you know, well, there still is, there's a place when a young person is a certain age, they're taken out of the village and they go with the elders, or the boys go with the men or something like that. And they're given some kind of task, which is usually quite challenging and sometimes deadly even. And they come back to the village afterwards and they have gone through something, and something that changes them. And when they return to the village, from that point on, they are no longer a child. They are seen by the entire village as a man, and or as a woman, in that case, as an adult. And so, this really shifts people into responsibility, into different behaviors, and being different in the village. And there's been a whole, over years and years, this realizing that this is something that's been lost in our modern culture. And there are those who believe that this is actually part of kind of where we've kind of gone off track as far as the decisions we make about the environment and our resources, just even about ourselves and how we live. I know that when I was a young teenager, I noticed that there were a lot of adults, people in adult bodies that were still children around me. I was like, what, how did that happen? So how did we go off track? And so a bunch of years ago, a few people got together and said, hey, I think we want to start to actually create these initiations for young people again, and sort of to support the village, to support our culture, to support families. And so this is how a program called Tracks was created, which was a rite of passage for teenage boys becoming men. And it also became really great men's work for the men holding the space, so starting to work as a team. And it's also about the connection with the natural world and being in relationship with themselves, with one another, with their family, their school, their friends, their villages. So it's really supporting the culture. And then from that also came the Tides organization, which is supporting teenagers who are in a female body, who are stepping into adulthood. And so we have a few people here from this current version, the current iteration of this organization. And I wanted to say this organization that one of us is going to talk about in a few minutes, the Rites of Passage Foundation, is now celebrating its 25th year of operating. So we've been really doing this mahi, doing this work for a bunch of years. And, you'll hear more about it. But I wanted to introduce who's here. So I'm here as the director, the current director of the Rites of Passage of Tides, and I've been in this organization for 19 years, and I say this, and it's actually really true. This work is actually what brought me to New Zealand from the U.S., so it's really deep in my heart. And with us, I have Steph Jonkind, who's the current chairperson of the Rites of Passage Foundation, which is our umbrella trust organization that governs and really kind of keeps all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, and the bank the bank rolling. So Steph is here, and then we have Ludo, who is a new co-director of the Tracks events, and then we have Amalie Harrison, who has just done her first Rites of Passage. And we have Kiva Hammond, who has just come back as what we call a tuakana. So a tuakana is a kind of the older sibling, and a teina is the younger sibling. So when a young person comes to do their rite of passage, they're called a teina in tides. You have a different name for them in tracks, eh?
Yeah, we kind of just call them seekers for a initiate, a young person coming through, and then a tracker for a young leader.
Yeah, great. Yeah, so they have seekers and trackers, and we have teina and tuakana, which is the younger sibling and the older sibling. And it's really, it's also a word, the word also means one who walks alongside. So it's so they're on side one another, and so the tuakana comes back after doing their rites to step more into service and leadership and learning space holding skills and things like that. And they're in part of a intergenerational group of women, and it's the same with tracks where it's all the different generations. We even have an elder culture and things like that. So, yeah, so that's a basic introduction of what we're doing here.
So, Steph, you are the chairman and one of the many elders. How did you get here, and why do you believe it's so important?
Yeah, basically it was about 20 years ago that I joined a like a training program, and that really got me interested. And my son at the time, my eldest son, was only 9 years old, so I had a few years to go, but I thought, this is it, this is what I want to do with my son. And so I did that after many years being coming to the events as a facilitator. And then when I did with my son, I got so much out of it, and I could tell that he did too. And since then, it's now 20 years on, two of my other kids went through the program. My wife got involved in the Tides program. So basically our whole family got involved in this work and got exposed to it. And personally, from a personal perspective, I can see what it's done to my family. It's like our connection is just fantastic. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of the work is that young people become independent adults and can talk to us on a level as adults. And so the events are intergenerational. So there is young people. There is people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, up until their 70s, or even at times people in their 80s. And the fact to be exposed to that for 5 days, to have those different generations and feel equal and feel heard and be able to talk to people of a different age and not just your peers, that's exceptional. And I suppose, you know, it used to be like that. But in our modern society, it's not the case anymore. And this is sort of a revival of that concept, that we live in an intergenerational society. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hooked. And I've been chairperson, maybe I remember I signed up for a year. And I think it's a decade now. And I've also done the finances. But I just recently, a couple of months ago, handed that over to a new person, which is probably a good thing. But I'm still hooked. It's also one of the things that kept me in Golden Bay, because I think this is really important. And wherever I go throughout New Zealand and even overseas, and I meet people who've done the program, mm-hmm. I see the difference. They are confident and they can hold a conversation. And I feel like I'm talking to a person who's connected.
Would you say this brings families closer together?
Oh, definitely. Definitely the case. I mean, that's also the feedback we're getting from families. You come as a teenage boy, you come with your dad to the program. As a teenage girl, you come with your mom, if possible. And the connection's already growing, and that continues when you're home, when you're not in an event. And being, it's a multi-stage program. So you come in as an initiate, and then you can come back as like Tides, the Tuakana, and the trekkers at Treks. And then you build on that, and that basically radiates out to the family, and not just the family, also the peers, the community. Yeah, and definitely it brings families and ultimately communities together.
Hmm. Can I add something there?
Yeah.
So, yeah, being a teenager is like it's such a huge merry-go-round of all sorts of things. It's actually most families have a lot of challenges navigating that time, that teenage time. It's a time of huge change in the physical body and socially and everything. It's a huge time in families, and I think there's a lot of questions about how to navigate it. And one of the things that I really care about is, out in the world, there's a lot of energies, there's a lot of attention, you know, there's a lot of wanting to tell young people how to think, what to care about, what to spend their money on, what to spend their time on, who to like, how to dress, how to, like, there's a lot of desire to kind of own people's attention. And I really believe that our programs actually help young people know themselves better, so that they actually, so they can make their, decide for themselves what's important. Because I think there's just so much pulling at young people right now, and that's one of the things that I think is really important and valuable about what we do, is that young people can, even the adults who come, can really start to learn skills and think for themselves more. And so they become better citizens, they become better community members, they become better family members. So it's really, and it helps families navigate this kind of difficult time, or sometimes difficult but changeable time, of when there's a teenager in the house.
So Ludo, what is the very first initiation into the rites of passage?
Yeah, tēnā koe. It's a really exciting question for me, because I think it's a really exciting, you know, this is on the precipice of experiencing a rites of passage journey. And your first experience can be such an incredibly profound moment. So I think there's a lot in there. And there's a little bit of mystery and a little bit of, excitement to keep that alive. But essentially what we're looking at is like a 5-day event in the outside of the natural world, and we have a few components to that, and some of that includes stepping away and a separation from the outside world, outside community, so it could be your family, and then embarking on this journey and overcoming a significant challenge, and once that sort of hill has been crested, that mountain has been climbed, then it's about returning home and, really importantly, integrating those experiences and with you as you return to the community and your rest of your life. So it's a long 5 days, and it's also incredibly short at the same time. And I think what's really exciting for me is that the invitation is to come with a parent, so with a father or a mother. But that's not a necessity. So my father's stood in for many other young men who didn't have a father present in their lives, or chose not to do it with their own father. So I think there's a really exciting opportunity there for people who are wanting to do it and still experience this journey, but without that direct sort of parenthood. Yeah.
Do many return to the returning?
Yeah, I think we have a lot of people who come through the rites of passage and as an initiate, and then come back as a young leader. And I think, you know, one way to look at that is that this is the second half of your experience there. It's where you can consolidate a lot of your experience and growth throughout your rites of passage and your initiation, and then step into responsibility and service, and also come and experience a lot of fun. And you feel that shift in responsibility, that there's the sort of lightness, and there's that laughter. I guess I don't want to make it out to be such a mammoth of experience that it's always going to be intense, and it's a very serious thing, but there's also a lot of joy and laughter on it as well. So people come back for that, and they come back to support other people. And I think, you know, for myself, there was a real sort of consolidation of confidence and trust in myself, and that mirrored my experience of the outside world as I continued to come back and experience leadership and be called and pushed into it. And I also felt like I could do that in the outside world as I grew within myself.
In the initiation, what would the average age be?
Yeah, so for that first sort of time around coming in, you're looking at being between the ages of 14 to 18 years old. That's kind of the age we look at being really prime within that developmental experience to come and experience more responsibility, more challenge, and with that, more freedom. I mean, you're sort of looking at young leaders coming back, you know, you could be 14-year-old, do a rites of passage and come back as a 15 or 14-year-old. So young leaders sort of fit in that next layer up of, 14 upwards to maybe into their early 20s. And then it starts to move into other sort of roles of, responsibility.
Amelie, you have just finished your initiation with the rites of passage. How was it?
Yeah, hi. It was excellent. I did my rites in April, so it's been about 3 months, and I'm 14, so I was kind of just at the cutoff age. And it's funny because I think a lot of people who think about doing a rites of passage initiation have the assumption that it'll be really whack and really hippie, and it is some of the time. But it's also really special and you meet some of the coolest people ever.
Would you be coming back to do more?
Yes, I will be. One of my best friends who I've known for 2 years, Kiva, she was a tuakana for my rites. And seeing her progress really inspired me and I just want to do what she did.
What's the progress?
Just the maturing and seeing her feeling all of her emotions and connecting with people that are way older than her, but they're just on the same level.
So was your mother with you?
Yes, my mother was with me.
How did it impact her?
She found it very special too. She's already in that line of work and she holds space for a lot of events similar to Tides. But I have noticed that our relationship has grown so much stronger. For example, instead of hiding in my room like the typical teenager, I might come out into the living room and we can watch a movie or make dinner together, which is really special to me.
Kiva, you've lived in the Tui community your entire life, and you've seen the rites of passage all around you. How would you say it's impacted you?
It's really special because Tui, like, the events, like, take place in Tui, like, kind of in an event space that is in Tui, and it's, like, and the returns, a lot of the time I would go to the returns and see all the people returning, and also, like mentioned before, there is this, like, element of, secrecy to it. And so I always could see the returnees and kind of, because at the end you share your experience a bit to the audience, so I would hear their experience and I would also still not know really what was happening behind the curtain. I remember, like, even when I was young, when I was like 5, seeing all these like Tides women coming back and being so inspired and wanting to do it myself. And I remember being so annoyed I had to wait till I was 14 to do it. I was so grumpy. I was like, can't I just do it now? I would say it's definitely impacted me. And then when I was able to do it, it was all the more special to finally see that curtain be lifted and see what's actually going on behind the scenes.
So you've done the initiation to rites of passage and you've done the second journey. What's it like being a tuakana?
It's really special because as a tuakana, you get to witness and be there for a tainuk that's coming through, a new initiate. In this role, you know what's happening, but you're kind of buddied with a new initiate that's coming through that has no idea. And it's really special to see them come in all, like, nervous, and because they have no idea what they're going to do. They're like, oh, it's a 5-day retreat with my mum. We'll see what happens. And so to see them come in and kind of quite closed off was my experience, quite closed off. And then as the journey progresses, see them slowly opening up more and growing so much more into themselves, even in just that 5 days. It's quite amazing, actually, to watch that. It was really special as well, because you are, like, it's really special to be that person that the new initiate can come to when they, like, are confused, and then to hear afterwards how helpful, like, just It's so special to witness that in someone else.
And what's the journey from here?
Well, I would say I would like to return definitely a few more times as a Tuakana again, because I think it's a role that I really enjoyed to do. And then, yeah, I think it'll always have a special place in my heart, and I do believe I will come back to it. And also, even when I'm not actively partaking in the programs, I am definitely taking part of it with me into my life. Implementing it into my life, because there are so many skills that you can take from there that are so useful and so helpful in just everyday life, and not necessarily when you're only doing the program. It's really life skills.
And Luda, what would be your big take on this?
Yeah, I mean, like I alluded to before, it's potentially one of the most profound experiences that I've had. You know, I spent 6 weeks in India last year, and I was kind of looking like, where am I? Where's this depth, this sort of incredible experience I'm looking for? I mean, I reflect and look back at my own sort of experience within Rites of Passage, and really reflected on the potence it had on my own life there. So I think, everyone's individual, everyone's going to take something different, but I see people really stepping into themselves in an active way. So really, we're really looking at encouraging young people to be an active component within their own lives. And instead of life happening to them, they're sort of getting behind the driving wheel and driving in a way that's responsible, and a way that's going to uplift those around them, the community, and themselves and their own whānau as well. So, I mean, these days I'm kind of hearing a lot of rhetoric around, like, manosphere and a lot of, the damage that can be done. We live in the context of Aotearoa, where we're looking at drink driving, suicides, and a mental health rate that's, second to none within the Western world. And I think what we're doing with Rites of Passage is encouraging people to flip that narrative and take an active role within that wider context, to be a component of change and a catalyst for something different. There's an element of being an active participant in your own life and in that of others. I see that really well reflected within my own sort of friendship group of friends that feel like they can empower each other. And I actually heard someone testify to that the other day, where they said, this is a father speaking about one of his sons who had recently come through the event, and he said, I really like the way they interact. There's no put downs. There's no trying to be better than the other. There's none of this sort of tall poppy syndrome. It's just one of sort of empowerment and uplifting each other's own mana. So I think that was a really beautiful way to encapsulate, where people were starting to take responsibility and drive their lives.
How does the environment of Tui impact the Rites of Passage?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's pretty world class. Like, you're looking at a venue that's just in the foothold of the Abel Tasman National Park. You've got people traveling all across the world to be here, and we get a week in this beautiful environment of Golden Sands, in a place called the Tree Field, which is you're surrounded in a little bubble of this beautiful natural world. Part of the commitment of coming on an event like this is stepping away from your outside life and into the container of what's happening, so that you can focus on your own experience and the internal work that you're wanting to progress through and push through there. So we're looking at a week without technology, without phones, and moving away from that into a modality of storytelling, which is something that our phones utilize, every day. I'm looking at Instagram stories or Snapchat stories. And we're actually stepping away from that into a modality of storytelling where you can look people in the eyes and really sort of experience what it means and to feel the potency of their own experience.
Amelie and Kiva, is there anything else you'd like to add to today?
Well, I think a really important concept of tides and tracks is time.
Yeah, because as part of not having much technology around, there's also like no, you don't have any clocks or any sense of what time it is, and so it's time ends up becoming very fluid and less of this, oh, what's happening next, this like pressure of, oh, I only have this much time, and I find you get to be more in the moment because of that.
Yeah, I agree. It's really amazing, especially in the mornings when you're in bell tents with your sisters and you get woken up by beautiful voices and you can just hear the birds instead of your alarm.
Yeah, and personally I found it very difficult to begin with because I am a very organised person who likes to have a schedule and who likes to, especially because there's this secrecy, you don't know what's happening in the day, and who likes to know what's happening and when it's happening. But I found that after even just one or two days, I totally fell into the rhythm of not needing to know that, and I never wanted to go back afterwards. When I had to go back into like having time and having like going back to school and having my timetable and my set routine, I was like, oh goodness, I miss this.
It's definitely funny. At some point you really just don't want to leave.
And Arlen, is there anything else you'd love to add?
Well, first I want to point out that I'm sitting here with these young people who are so well-spoken and so like clear in themselves. And this, you know, I don't want us to, as a rites of passage, take full credit for that, because I think they're already exceptional humans. But this is really what I wish for the world, is that all young people have this opportunity to meet themselves in this way, and for all of us to have communities full of people who are choosing for themselves. Another piece is that we've created also, we had lots of people want to come and help facilitate this rites of passage. And I know that I was drawn to it because I did not receive a rite of passage when I was becoming an adult. My rite of passage when I was, you know, 15, 16 was sex, drugs, and rock and roll, basically. You can legally drink, you can drive a car, you can vote, and that sort of thing. And it's like, but nobody taught me how to be an adult. Nobody said, this is how it goes. And at some point, here's the, you know, where you become an adult. And so what I find is a lot of women who are attracted to this work, you could probably speak to tracks, but a lot of the people who are attracted to this work want to do this work because they didn't get it themselves. And so we're really starting to focus on another event, which has been our training or our doorway to come in to facilitate for Tides, called Ebb and Flow. And tracks has Good Men Make Tracks. And so this is a rite of passage, an initiation for men and women to come in. And it's also the doorway as a facilitator, but you can just come and have your own initiation, which can happen at any age. At any age, you can step into your adulthood or your life more consciously. So I feel really excited about that. So we're cooking up quite an Ebb and Flow for September. And I think I would love to hear from Steph about the value of elders in the space, because in the village, the elders are definitely pivotal.
Yeah, so we have this culture at tracks of elders to represent that older generation, and not just because there's so much wisdom there. It's also the familiarity with older people, with the older generation. And what I personally really, what warms my heart is to be accepted by the young people amongst, in their midst, and as sort of an equal, and to do stuff together, to play games together. And it's not, there's no difference in there's no hierarchy or, you know, they might think, oh, you're older, so you're wiser, but it's actually on the same level. And even to be invited in to play games and stuff like that, that's exceptional. So that's, for me personally, is a big thing. And yeah, there is a culture of, and I think the Tides women have also adapted the eldership culture, because that's what we lost in society, the elders. Where are the elders in our society? And so we want to reinstate that. And that doesn't mean that we're all very wise and experienced. No, but we're keeping that culture alive, and we're growing as well. I'm growing. I'm still growing. Mm-hmm. But just to be part of this program and be amongst young people, yeah, that really warms my heart. And I just got to add one more thing, and there's another program, because it's quite gender specific to some extent, the tracks and tides, but there's also, as adults, mixed programs like Marking Life Stages.
Mm-hmm. And Crossroads.
And Crossroads. And so the Crossroads is a program for 18 to 35-year-olds, and you can do that with your girlfriend, and anyone can do that in that age range. And as an adult, any age, there's also Marking Life Stages. And you can do that as a family, if you like, if you want, you know, that connection. And it's all based on the same sort of culture, mm-hmm. and the same tradition. You know, it's moving from one life stage to the next. And of course, there's many of those stages, those change of life stages in life.
And yeah. rising tides and rising suns, yeah. and rising families for those who are younger than
younger ones.
This initiation age.
Yeah, so there's programs for the 8 till 12-year-olds, mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, and there's now a new one, and it's a crossover, mothers and sons and fathers and daughters. And we start the new ones in October, next October. Yeah.
Mm. How can people find out more?
Well, you can read more on our website, which is ropf.org.nz, ropf.org.nz. And if you want to register for events, it's all on the website.
That stands for Rites of Passage Foundation.
Correct.
Well, I would love to thank all of you for coming in today. It was an absolute pleasure learning about you all and how everything works.
Thanks, Francis.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Fresh FM, with assistance from New Zealand On Air. Other great local podcasts are available through our website, freshfm.co.nz.